Oh, important bio. Thank you. Thank you, Karen. To an extent, you sense some sort of bifurcation involved in Torah. And those.
You mean the family or the person?
Family, the family. Now, by a show of hands, how many are lighting out? It's funny, it's quite striking that the custom specific, most of Israel, the overwhelming custom is to light outside. And there are exceptions both ways. But that's by and large, possibly, could be the time. So,
it's
so let's go through the sources way back before the issue of and see really what's more preferable. Is it better to light inside? The first source is the Gemara itself. The Gemara, please feel free to follow either in Hebrew or if you're more comfortable with the. The Gemara says in the first source, Tana Rabbanan, our rabbis taught us, Ner Chanukah, the mitzvah, Icha, Al Pesach, Beiso, Vivachotz. The mitzvah, the commandment is to light it on the door of one's house, on the outside. In fact, there's a discussion the Gemara has. Often, the way that was that houses didn't open up right into streets, but houses opened up in the courtyards, and the courtyards into streets. And there's a discussion, if my house opens into a courtyard, is it more preferable to light at the opening of the courtyard, opening of the house? Predicated upon this line, that you're supposed to put it on the outside. What about in Hayadar Ba'aliyah? If you live on an attic or in a second floor, then Manicha Bachalon Hasmucha Rishos HaRabin. You put it in a window near, clearly, ideally you put it outside. If, for some reason of convenience, you just can't do it, and says the Gemara, danger, manicha v'dai. Then you leave it on the table, in the middle of the house, not near the window. So it seems from the Gemara, black and white, there are three options. Most ideal is to put it on the door facing the outside, actually outside. There's no choice. You have no door that you own, that you can call your own. Put it in the window. And if, unfortunately, it's the time of Gemara, that if you live, this a door, where's the best place? If let's say you could easily access a door, where's the best place to put it?
Outside.
Outside of the door. Pretty obvious. If you have no choice, there's no door that you have, put it inside. And if you really are concerned about some sort of pogrom, God forbid, one of the disagrees. This is a statement from the Gemara. Put it on the door. Then is, how come many of the Rishonim suggested that it really hinges upon, Gemara says, v'shas hasakan, in times of danger, put it on your table. And unfortunately, in our Latrimo sister, to do it. The problem is, there's no danger. Should we really institute the fact that even in America, we're going to put the menorah on the outside? Or say, no, suffice it to put it inside. And what about in Israel? What happened in Israel? Israel, we know, is not always the way it is now. How come the men of the that there are many sources that seem to tell us that even in the times of the Rishonim, which it was quite clear that even if there was the approach of the Tosafists, it's clear that even in the Tosafists, even if there was no impending danger, they lit candles in 1200, 1300. How do we know? From two specific sources. Firstly, what does it mean, time of danger? Tosfos quotes on the side of the page in Maseches Shabbos, in the first source in part two, nearly Tosafists that the approach, the idea of specifically being a time, Hainu, it is, Michi, from the time the Chavre came to Babel. What is that? And the Tosafists refer to the next source, the Gemara Daf Memhei, both in Hebrew and in English, in front of you, on the bottom of the. Bo Mene de Rav. They asked the following question of Rav. We know that on Shabbos there are certain prohibitions. So they asked people that prohibited. Am I allowed to move my muktzah menorah? Ma'u l'taltulei shraga d'chanukta. Am I allowed to move the Chanukah menorah? Mitame chevrei, from this group called the chevrei, those that prohibited the kindling of any candles. Say, are you allowed to move the menorah from people that are going to be upset that you lit candles on Shabbos because it's against the law? Absolutely. So Rav answered, Bamar Luhi said back to them, shaper dummy. Of course that's okay. So Rav said, you're allowed to move the menorah, if the Chavre are around. Who are the Chavre? Doesn't explain, but the Chavre clearly, as Rashi elucidates, were people that made rules about lighting menorahs. Some of the historians suggest they were people based upon ancient pagan culture or culture that existed in Zoroastrian. Since the Zoroastrians, they were happened to light on Hanukkah, you were. Even if there would be no major threat, if it's against the law, Rav says, I take the menorah and move it on Shabbos inside the house. But says Tosfos, so look, we see in the Gemara, there was once a time that in Babel, our sages in Babylonia had to deal with the fact there were people that were specifically outlawing the kindling of the menorah. Says Tosfos, from that time, that's considered a time of danger. From considered dangerous, and we don't light the menorah inside outside the house at all. Look back into a chapter, the second subheading. First danger is Michi Asu Chavril Bavel. From when the time the Tosfos says, from the time you should not light menorah outside. Now think about it for a second. In history, we know that the Talmud was closed. Tosfos came to Bavel sometime before 500 of the Common Era. From then, we stopped lighting menorah. Tosfos doesn't say when, from the year 500 to the year 1300, let's say, you should bring it back outside. The Chavri aren't around. We don't know who the Chavri are. But Tosfos doesn't tell us that you should now move the menorah back outside. What impression then do you get from Tosfos? What is Tosfos inside? Because all Tosfos said was we start moving it inside from the time the Chavri came in the year, let's say, 400. Meaning Tosfos would say from the year 400 until there, it was still being lit inside. Tosfos then is telling us the time that menorah was moved because of danger of the Chavri, and never tells us again, which means Tosfos seems to be that from the time the threat existed in the times of the Talmud, around the year 300 or 400 of the Common Era, until the times of the Tosfos around 1,000 years later, menorah was always lit inside. Not only that, this seems to be an explicit concept that Tosfos says, turning the ideal time to light candles 3 minutes after Sefer Tochavim. But how many people here just might, through one of the next 8 nights of Hanukkah, be at a house that's going to be lighting the candles after a page? Mitzvasa says, Ad Shetuchar, but says the Gemara, don't think it means Vad Kama, what does that mean? Omar Rabba Barbar Chana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Adakalia, until the Tamrudai. The Tamrudai. Rashi explains, this was an ancient tribe that used to sell kindling. They specifically sold firewood and candles. So, Talmudians, people used to go out to buy firewood. But once they finished being in the streets, everyone closed up shop, they locked their doors, and they cuddled up for the night. People didn't mention in the Gemara how early you can daven Maariv. Maariv, we know, is supposed to be after dark. But there's a discussion in the Gemara in general, maybe you can daven Maariv much earlier. In those days, people didn't mention. The Gemara says, Chayach HaTanz is supposed to be specifically from when night falls until the Talmudians leave the street, which is around a half hour. After that, no Hanukkah candles at all. Don't bother. But ostensibly, the Gemara is telling us that's what the rabbis stated objectively. Candle lighting is for half hour, from when the night falls, 5 o'clock till 5:30. If you come on 5:40, it doesn't apply. In L'chush, we only want it to be noticeable. El Livnei Havayis. Who are we concerned about? The other residents of our homes. When are we concerned about people being outside? Only if there are people that are outside. But if nowadays we light for our families, we light for ourselves, we don't light for those that are going to see it outside, we can light it at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Says the Mishnah Berurah, just make sure if you're lighting at 12 o'clock at night that at least some... But leaving that aside, you're allowed to light menorah anytime you want, says Tosfos, inside. So again, Tosfos is saying quite clearly, where is it that religion... Inside the house. No concern whatsoever. We have two sources in Tosfos already. Number one, Tosfos said it started from the times of the Chavri and Bavel and kept going straight, as the Maccabees would say, for those that are familiar, on. Or, the Tosfos here that says that we don't even care what time we light, because it's still night, would be okay. So the America seems to be way before America was ever dreamt of. That's the way Tosfos was. Not only that, it seems to be the approach of the Rashba, one of the other great Rishonim as well. Because we all know it's a great organization which tries to make shiduchim, but it's sometimes hard. So one of the things Chazal instituted, surprisingly, the rabbis made, really from the idea of Shalom Bayis, the halacha. And all of a sudden, hi, how are you? And all of a sudden, stuff just. And all of a sudden, a kid falls and he says, how come you didn't move that? You know, I told you to move it before Shabbos. And she says, no, I told you to move it. And all of a sudden, there goes Shabbos, the beautiful Shabbos. Meal gets cold. She trumps up to her room. He stays in the living room. They are upset at each other. 1 o'clock in the morning, they maybe try to reconcile the situation. But there goes the beautiful Friday night. Says the Gemara, of course, not the be-all and end-all of shalom bayis. It's not going to solve all marital discontent. But one way of trying to help people be more happily married is making sure Friday night proceeds properly. There's a chiyuv, a requirement we all have to like. Says the Gemara, what if there's a tension? Unfortunately, people weren't always... There's still, Baruch Hashem, people don't have this situation that the Gemara... Shabbos. So the Gemara, Shabbos, Chafim, Lamed, Veiz, again, please feel free to follow it in the English or in the Hebrew. It's absolutely obvious. Ner Beso, the light for your house, meaning for Shabbos, or the light for Chanukah, Ner Beso Adif. The Shabbos candles take Shum Shalom Beso. You can't imagine a Jewish house without... So says the Rashba, that you use one for and as a Chanukah candle. The woman will move her hands, make the bracha. Says the Rashba, the answer is just you can't use the light. We know, as we say, those that say Haneris Salalu, use the candles, you can't use the light. That's what the Rashba answers. You can't use the light. That's why every Menachamish, the ninth candle is in order to think about the Rashba's question. The Rashba says, now, if the Shabbos candle is on the table in front of you, and the Chanukah candle is outside, so where did the Rashba think you're going to light your Chanukah candles? Inside. That's why he even could raise the question, which of course he answers very well, that you can't benefit from, but the very question, the Hava Mina, seems to point out that the Rashba also was, it's an approach of the Ritzvah, one of the great Rishonim that was a contemporary and a later contemporary of the Rashba as well. Says the Ritzva, we talked in the beginning of the Shir about times of danger. Says the Ritzva, don't be so nervous. Doesn't mean times of danger alone. Perish in the bold. Low times of danger itself that you light. Satanas Tsar, what do you deal with now in 2011 in enlightened America? So if people are going to the menorah, even if there would be nothing they would do actively against you, God forbid, says the Ritzva, that's enough to allow you to put the menorah inside the house. And more than that, says the Ritzva. Therefore, Hayomer Mori Harasei, Shekishano Shei Efshal Hadlita Bachutz, that it's hard to light outside, Madlikonos. Time of danger was only one example. Not only times of danger, any time that we have so far, the Rashba and the Ritzva, all that said that you can light inside, and seem to have done so very long standing practice. We light menorah. This is a phenomenal help. Ar Zeruah, it's not like, or the Rashba before, those are acronyms. The Ar Zeruah was a major halakhic sefer written by Rav Yitzchak Mivina, but where does the name Yitzchak hinted to an Ar Zeruah? No connection. The Ar Zeruah was a great tzaddik, but for many years he wasn't sure when a person had to spell the name. Is it Ayin Kuf Yud Beis, or Ayin Kuf Yud Beis He? In fact, in the Talmud Bavli, in the Babylonian Talmud, the great Tana, Rabbi Akiva, spelled Ayin Kuf Yotalmi, which was written in Israel, who says, Rabbi Yitzchak Mivina, which is the treflet to spell it? He wasn't sure for many years. Till one night, in the dream, it was revealed to him that if you look at the Pasuk, Or Zeruah Latzadik Ul Yishrei Leiv Simcha, Pasuk that might be familiar to most people from Kol Nidre, we say it right before Kol Nidre, Or Ul Yishrei Leiv Simcha, the end of each of those letters, of each of those words, spells Or is Reish, Zeruah is Ayin, Latzadik is Kuf, Ul Yishrei is Yud, Lev is Beis, and Simcha, the last letter in the word Simcha, is Hey. So the dream revealed to him that the correct way to spell Akiva, seeing that as divine inspiration, he was so excited that he actually had a dream with a message from Hashem, he told his whole sefer Or is Zeruah after that pasuk, even though it's not connected at all to anything else. So the Or Zeruah, one of these great Rishonim, who had a divine dream, wonders out loud, he says in the source 5, Or Zeruah's query, V'hidna, nowadays, there's no danger. Well, Yadana, I don't really know. My time, what's the reason? Ein anu madlikin mechatzeros. Why don't we, he's wondering out loud, why don't we light outside? But what does he not do? Change the custom. He doesn't say, therefore, let's light outside. He wonders, you know, why is it that we all light inside? But we see he all... So it's quite clear, there's a very, very long-standing tradition in Orthodox Jewry. For many sources. Danger is what started it. But as method, it's both a matter of both convention, pragmatic... The problem... there's some a fascinating figure. His name, he was a person, a chassid from Galicia. He survived the Churban in Europe, the terrible Holocaust. He came to Israel, and he was very people happened. Unfortunately, this was time for the Dvar Yeshua. It was right after Yom Kippur, before Sukkot. Dvar Yeshua, for some miracle, was able to find one set of Lulav and Esrog. But he was taking such pride and joy in getting it ready for Sukkot, he didn't take the back in the window. So his window was wide, and in a rage, he walked into his room, and the way it's reported by his star, he wrote a whole tshuva, tshuva mem, the 40th responsum in this book, Dvar Yeshua, explaining why not only should you light inside, that's the only way to do it. He said, indeed, in ancient times we lit outside, but nowadays the only way you're yotze, the only way you fulfill the mitzvah of lighting Chanukah candles, that was too much for a contemporary of his, a person who is very Yeshua contemporary, in Sefer Kovetz Shuvos, Rav Yosef Sholem El Yashiv, perhaps the foremost poet, saw the Dvar Yeshua's Tshuva in the 70s and said, hold on, we light menorah outside. And wrote a whole responsum explaining why it's more correct to light. As a good contemporary, Dvar Yeshua in volume 2 says, very nice, my friend Rav Yashiv, you're wrong, but you should. So it's a debate between the Dvar Yeshua and the Rav Yashiv that happened in Eretz Israel nowadays, in the past 30 or 40 years, where to light the menorah. Rav Yashiv says, you know, Dvar Yeshua, I'll tell you, I understand you came from Dolos. You came from the Dolos mentality. And the Dolos mentality, we're scared to practice our Judaism, we'll light inside. But now you're in Israel! Light outside! Says Rav Yashiv, my dear friend, ghettos that were entirely Jewish. Not one non-Jew ever entered. And we lit inside. Don't tell me it's because we can practice Judaism publicly that we should light outside. We can practice Judaism publicly in the ghetto too. No non-Jews entered. And we inside. So Dvar Yeshua says, absolutely light inside. Rav Yashiv says, absolutely light outside. And it seems to be, this is the machlokas which applies between American. In fact, Dvar Yeshua says in Sor Sif, contemporary debate, Mikan ani tama, amasher isi ba'alosi Yerushalayim erakodesh. When I came to Jerusalem, I saw sheish noadim some of the customs. What type of ridiculous notion is that? I don't understand. I'm a religious Jew. Yeah, halacha haksuva b'shulchan aruch uminemra. Oh, really? I keep shulchan aruch. So we see the debate still raging. Before we end, let's. What is the normative code of Jewish law? That it's a machlokas between us. The Shulchan Aruch itself was written by Rabbi Yosef Taro. The Shulchan Aruch, though, he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, the set table, onto this tablecloth as well. This is so fantastic. I'm sure it would have even been more preferred if it covered the whole table, but so that's okay. But it's a good mashal for the approach of the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch wrote a sefer, which he meant to be the code of Jewish law for all Jews. At the same time, he was a Sephardi. At the same time, in Krakow, the Rama, he said, you know, it really would be redundant. Why should I'll wait to Rav Yosef Karo, and I'll write slight emendations. Rav Yosef Karo called, and the Rama called his sefer the Mappa, the tablecloth. But it's very appropriate because he only writes slight emendations. It's not a full tablecloth. He writes slight ideas here and there where the Shulchan Aruch is not going to apply to Ashkenaz. So, well done. The Shulchan Aruch says specifically, look in the last source. The Shulchan Aruch, this is for Sfardim, Shakach al Hizid, if you forgot or intentionally, below Hiluk, you didn't light Im Shtiyah Sechama after the sunset, Madlach v'Hoich, you can only light Ad Shetuch al-Redo Me'ashuk, until people are still in the street. Half hour, once people are out of the street, don't light. Clearly focusing on lighting outside. We're focusing on people that are outside. Says the Ramah, the one who wrote the tablecloth, for Ashnazim, Hadgah, Yeshomrim, some say, Shemizman Azeh, nowadays, Shemalikin Bifnim, that we light inside, ostensibly, according to the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Ramah, we light the source of the Shulchan Aruch, but it does seem to be, at first glance, this is Machlokas between Sfaradim and Ashnazim, which now became just different cultures. Some say you light outside. So what we've seen is that it seems from the Gemara, objectively, you should light the menorah outside. Only in times of danger, like the menorah, just to rely on, that tell us that his Tosfos. Tosfos says it started when the Chavre came to Bavel, sometime around, so then also said that nowadays we can light at 1 o'clock in the morning because we're lighting people that are inside, not outside. So clearly Tosfos says you can light, and they did light, inside. Then the Rashba, that it's possible to use the same candle for Shabbos and Hanukkah inside. The Ritva says, times of danger you keep it inside, or if it's windy outside, it's not convenient, then light inside. And then there's Arua, the fourth source, he asks, you know, it's strange. Why do we actually light inside? Shouldn't we light outside? But where did he light? Inside. It happens to be a contemporary debate in the past half a century between the Dvar Yeshua and Rav Yashu. Dvar Yeshua says light inside, Rav Yashu says light outside. It seems to be two sources, even in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch might say for Sfaradim to light outside, and that became. And the Ramah says for Ashkenazim light inside. It's interesting to realize that specifically both the Dvar Yeshua points out, as well as others, that in the world there's a lot of significance to lighting specifically inside. They point out that it used to be culture, foreign values, the purity of the Jewish home, and in order to keep it pristine, we put the steadfast menorah to make sure, as Farim point out, the Bnei Sashar, the Sfasemis, and therefore it's not enough to put the menorah, Hellenism, that we celebrate by Yamim Haheim. Please. In fact, absolutely. So the Magen Avraham, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, who lived in Poland, 1700s, he writes, if you can light inside, and cha, lighting outside as well, why not do it? Why not light outside? But in theory, let's say at home, my oldest child is 11 years old, Baruch Hashem. My youngest is a year and a half. Depends if we can really light by a window, we should. But if my year and a half old, my Yochanan Yehuda, would decide that it's more fun to play with the menorahs than to let it actually light on the table. Because the window is not something which you have to do, it's a nice minhag to do anyway. Alternatively, let's say you live on I used to live in Bennett Avenue, on the fifth floor. And no one, let's say, would like to light on the window, or I can light on the table, because no one's going to see it anyway. So we try to have it.
I have two questions.
Yes, please. Very good question. Sure. So the second question is easier to answer. The second question I'm not sure about. I was still new. The idea that everyone, or the Kohanim, bless the nation every. It's hard to know what's really ancient in Israel and what really is. Really, I'm not sure what the custom was. It seems that Rav Yashu was defending the custom that existed for a few hundred years, about that myself. And the first question about who the PR is, it hinges upon the source. Presuming Nisa, the idea of noticing the miracle is until. So it seems that then we're concerned about them seeing the menorah. Why were the Talmudians the point of demarcation from that? What did the Talmudians do? They encouraged Jews to go out and buy the wood. But it was not because of the Talmudians themselves, it was for the Jews that themselves. So the postman discussed it. That Rashi seems to show both ways. It could be for the Goyim specifically. It's just like we light menorah for ourselves. We know what happened. But we want to remind ourselves what happened. So too. But that it hints for the Talmudoi. Very important point. Right.
Yes.
Absolutely. So the Mishnah Berurah seems to say, so if I live myself, it's enough for me to light myself. But if I have a family and they're asleep, then that would really be a sliding scale.
Does
it matter? I'm ready to hit me with three at once. That would be one person lighting. He lights. I asked them who's lighting menorah. They'll say, we're not. Their father's alive. Based on. Well, if they, let's say if they're in Yeshiva, so they'll consider that close enough. If the father's doing light, they won't light at all.
Really?
They should. That's their custom. That's from the Rambam.
House.
Right. Then the father will light.
He's lighting at home. You don't have
the
to
father
light
will light. That's it. So it's a discussion.
Really?
How far does it? How close is close? Nowadays it can
really?
Drive. But that's their custom specifically. They should still make a bracha of Sha'as and Isa. The idea of, there are different menhagim in Klal Yisrael. The Mishnah Berurah quotes an idea that one's wife is like, that one's wife doesn't have to light, women demonstrating some sort of equality. As far as the
okay.
Yes.
How many people
if the father lights, my pleasure, I'm going to have a wonderful, wonderful Hanukkah. My pleasure. From the left.
From the left.
You like, no, you stand. Turn right. You like, right, left, then next one. I like the new one. Always the new one first, and the other one. Yes, starting from the right. I'm starting from the right. Yes.
So
you put them in from the right, and you light the new one first, light from the left. My pleasure. Thank you very much. You too. My pleasure. Great offense. Sure.
We didn't think about
it.
I got along those books, so now I'm
sure.
I'm not sure.
Sure?
Are you Hoshua? No. Sharon did that.
I need a new edition.
Ever.
Yeah, this one Avram did.
Half a few years of El Yashin and Aaron Burr. Right, it's funny.
Haksa Meya.
And Leia, sure, right, sure.
Well, but Leia doesn't care.
Nice to meet you.
He doesn't care.
Oh, let me talk.
Yeah, sure.
You never hear from Leia. Don't captive Leia.
Isn't that an interesting
same talk? I would say so. But it looks pretty old, doesn't it? You've had it for years and years and years.
Years and years and years. I keep it in the sitter and I eat. How many dreidels can one?
So you go to Youngers or you don't go to Youngers?
I don't say it. Also,
you
I don't
go around.
I live right near Youngers, actually.
You know, I've been doing
it. Sure. Of course. Yes, Parsha Shmos. My pleasure.
Yes, we were invited.
You're
okay.
Well,
how do you pronounce your last name?
Maybrook. Brook.
Because you could pronounce it any
yes, really, really is Maybrook. But that's the...
Yes. Right.
My grandfather used to say... Be well.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
the NCS... Yeah, she went on that. She went to...